This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Our world today is loaded with a vast variety of temptations that, sadly, result in the destruction of many, many human lives and many families. The potential to contract an addiction to something during one's lifetime is unfortunately enormous. How does one steer clear of contracting one of these fatal, addictive attractions? Are there any keys one should know in order to help avoid these destructive distractions? Well, stay with us as we attempt to explore this question about overcoming addictions.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I want to talk about today is change, but I want to look at change from a big picture perspective. I want to talk about change from three standpoints. I want to look at change through persuasion, change through vicarious experience, and change through your own personal experience. Because what you will find when you look at change is that each one of these big picture items has something to do with how humans change. Now, when you think about persuasion, you may think about someone talking to you about making a change. When you think about vicarious experience, that's you observing someone else and being impacted to change by what you observe. And of course, personal experience, probably the biggest change agent for humanity. I want to give you a little example of what I mean by this by telling you about an experience I had that led to a change in my life. I was brought up as a Greek Orthodox Christian, and I believed in what we called Lent. Lent was a 40-day fast period prior to Easter. Now, I understood that we did this 40-day fast based upon Jesus' experience in the wilderness where he fasted. One day, I was reading an article, and this article addressed the subject of Lent, and it talked about pagan religions, religions that predated Christianity, that had a fast period prior to a celebration for their gods. Now, this blew my doors off because I was saying to myself, wait a minute, are we doing this in the Orthodox Church because of Jesus' 40-day fast? Or does this information tell me that there may have been another reason why the church began to observe what we call Lent? That led me to study, to start to look at this subject, and to come to conclusions that went against what the Orthodox Church was believing. So that experience, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember that guttural feeling I had in the pit of my stomach that, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. This is different information. I need to investigate this. I need to look at this. So that personal experience for me led to a dramatic change in my life. It led me to start looking at things, doing research, and it led me to the church that I am now a member of today. So that experience is what other people have in life that leads to dramatic change in their life. And we want to look at those particular ways of changing today to see if we can learn anything from them and if God is using those methods to try to change our lives, to get us to repent, turn, and go in the right direction that we should be going in life. Before we do any of that, though, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you a free CD and some free literature on today's program. Now, the CD we want to offer you today is titled overcoming addictions. Now, there may be some of you out there who are alcoholics, who are drug addicts, who are addicted to pornography. You can break the grip of addiction. We want to teach you how to do that. And one of the things you can do to overcome addictions is listen to this CD on the topic of overcoming addictions. We also want to offer you a free booklet on today's program. The booklet is titled, 10 Facts You Should Know About Repentance. John preached it. Jesus preached it. The apostles and evangelists preached it. What is it? What is repentance? It's one of the fundamental doctrines of the true Christian faith, and no one serious about biblical Christianity can afford to neglect it. Get these facts on repentance. It is a vital subject. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791, or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Also go to our website to find out about our weekly sermon live on the internet. Go to www.cgi.org to learn more. Welcome back, friends. I'm glad you could join us on today's program. We're looking at the subject of change today, and as we said at the top of the program, we're looking at it from three big picture standpoints. We're looking at how persuasion leads to change, we're looking at how vicarious experience can lead to change, and also how personal experience, which is probably the biggest way that people change, can also lead you to change and turn your life around. Now, when we think about persuasion, we think about somebody telling you something and trying to get you to see things in a different way. In my estimation, this does not work as well as the experiential ways that people change. When we think about persuasion, we can think about Jesus Christ for a moment. Let's think about Jesus for a minute. Jesus was probably the greatest evangelist of all time. Who would know the truth of God better than Jesus? I think you would realize that no one would know the truth of God better than Jesus. But was Jesus able to persuade many people when he was on the earth during his ministry? The Bible seems to say that he did not persuade very many people. He spoke to thousands and thousands of people during his earthly ministry. But how many of those people actually changed and really followed the message that he had? Notice this scripture. It's over in the book of Acts, and it gives us a little understanding about that. How significant of a persuader was Jesus about his message? Notice what it says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So there were 120 believers when? After Jesus had been resurrected, after Jesus had gone back to heaven. There are 120 people here who are meeting together on this day of Pentecost who were true believers in the message that he had. He spoke to thousands, yet only 100 or so were really true believers in that message. I think we can see that persuasion is not the greatest way to change the minds of human beings. There are other ways that are better in getting humans to change their behavior and to go in a different direction. And I want to talk a little bit about those things right now. Another method of getting people to be persuaded or to change their ways is what we call vicarious experience. Now, vicarious experience is when you are observing someone else, you see something else occurring, and by seeing whatever it is, it has an impact on you that leads you to want to change. There was a psychologist named Albert Bandura. He's a famous psychologist. And he ran many, many tests and studies on humans and looking at humans from a psychological lens. One of these tests that he ran had to do with changing phobics, changing people who had a phobia for something. And what he did was he brought a lot of people into his laboratory who had a fear of snakes. Now, I understand that we should fear some snakes. Boa constrictors, pythons, cobras, copperheads. There are snakes we should fear. But these individuals were not only afraid of those snakes, they were afraid of just your garden variety gardener snake. They were afraid of snakes that could do no harm to you. So he brought these people into his lab, and he set up his experiment in this way. He had the phobics looking into a room where people were handling non-threatening snakes. They were holding these snakes. They were touching these snakes. They were letting these snakes slither around on them. And by watching these individuals handle the snakes, the phobics were able to move closer to the room. Now remember, these people were deathly afraid of snakes. They observe others handling the snakes, and they realize nothing bad is happening. So Bandura got these individuals to come out of the room and stand in the doorway where the snakes were being handled. And then they observed people for a while from that vantage point. Then he had them put on protective clothing and enter the room where the snakes were. Finally, after doing that for a while, the people were able to handle the snakes with protective clothing on. And finally, after only 3 hours, these people who were deathly afraid of snakes were able to take off their protective clothing and handle the snakes themselves. Now, this didn't work for everyone, but it worked for many of these phobics. Many of these people who had this phobia of snakes were able to handle the snakes through what we call vicarious experience. They observed others going through something, and it affected them so much so that they were able to change their behavior and actually experience what the others had been experiencing. Now, why does this work? Why does vicarious experience work as far as being a change agent? And does God have a handle on this? Well, God most assuredly has a handle on this. God put the mind of man together, and God knows how that mind works. I'd like you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and I want to show you a scripture here. Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Notice what this says, and be thinking here about vicarious experience. Deuteronomy 4:4. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Now catch this. In the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Did you catch that? When Israel went into this new land that God gave them, what did God want to happen? He wanted them to observe His laws and statutes. Because what would that do? The people around them would realize, hey, Israel's got it going on. Why does Israel have it going on in a positive way? Maybe it's because of the laws and statutes that they're following. If Israel had followed through and kept God's laws and statutes, the nations around them would have vicariously experienced the fact that this is the way to build our nation. This is the direction to go. God knows about vicarious experience. He knows the power of vicarious experience. And even more so, He understands that direct experience can have even a greater effect in changing mankind. Now, to understand vicarious experience a little bit more, I want to tell you about another experiment that was conducted by social scientists. You can read about this in the book Influencer, which is a popular book out today. In this experiment, some social scientists were studying a monkey's brain. Now, monkeys are one of God's creatures. God created monkeys. God created mankind. So what they were trying to do is they were trying to see what part of a monkey's brain was impacted by various stimuli. And they had this monkey set up. They had electrodes on it, and it was they were able to determine what part of the monkey brain was being stimulated by what the monkey saw. Now, it was the end of the day, and they were done doing the experiments. And one of the fellas reached for a banana in a bowl, not knowing that one of the monkeys was still hooked up to the electrodes. And they saw that something registered in the monkey's brain when this fellow went to reach for a banana. They thought that what was going on in the monkey's brain was the region that deals with thinking about reaching for a banana. But they were shocked and amazed that the monkey's brain for thinking about it was not being stimulated. The monkey's part of the brain that actually does the act was being stimulated. So in other words, the monkey seeing this individual go for the banana made the monkey feel like he was going for that banana at the same time. Now that is the power of vicarious experience. What was going on here were mirror neurons within the brain of the monkey were being impacted by what that monkey was seeing. So much so that the monkey was feeling like he was going through that action also. Have you ever watched a commercial and seen some food that you're really interested in? Madison Avenue knows about this, folks, and so does God. Vicarious experience, mirror neurons are more sophisticated in the human brain. So when we see somebody else going through something, when we observe somebody else experiencing something, we can have empathy for it. We can have some sense of experiencing it also. And sometimes that leads to dramatic changes in the lives of human beings. Now I want you to think a little bit further about this. I want us to take this to the next level. What about direct experiences? What about direct experiences? Now, let's go back to vicarious experience one more time, and then I'm going to jump into direct experience. Think about the apostles at the time of Jesus' resurrection. So Jesus is arrested. He's taken away. The apostles kind of drift into the woodwork now. They aren't there anymore. Then all of a sudden, 3 days and three nights later, Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and he appears to his disciples. Now imagine the vicarious experience there. What would those disciples be thinking when they see the risen Lord? I'll tell you what they were thinking, ladies and gentlemen. They were thinking, wow, I can have this too. My master has risen from the dead. He's overcome death. I can have this too. Because Jesus had been preaching to them about this for over 3 years. So that is vicarious experience to the extreme. What did it lead to the disciples to do? The disciples got on fire for the message of the gospel of the kingdom at that point. And they died for that message. They went out and preached that message and died for that message. That experience changed them. It altered them. And that experience can be the same for you. If you believe what this Bible says, it can turn your life around. But what about direct experience? God knows that some people are not influenced by persuasion. Some people are not influenced by vicarious experience. Some people have to have a direct experience of their own to really alter them, to really change them. Keeping that in mind, what do we know about the message of this book? We know that there's a kingdom of God coming to this earth. That people who are still alive on this earth at the time of Christ's second coming will get to experience that kingdom. They will get to experience a totally transformed world, a world that is different from the world of today. There will be no more wars. There will be no crime with Jesus in charge. And physical beings experiencing that, do you think they'll want to get on board with the message of Jesus Christ? With this new world and this new way of seeing things and experiencing things, that experience that those individuals have, I believe, will help alter them, will help change them, and get them to believe in the message of Christ. We see in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5 an interesting scripture here. It says in Revelation 25, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. We can couple that scripture with Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1. So we will see some people, human beings, living in that kingdom. But at the end of that 1,000-year reign of that kingdom, there are other people who are going to come to a physical existence. Notice what it says in Ezekiel 37, 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Is God going to bring about a direct experience on these dead people that we read about in Revelation 20 who are going to rise up from death and come to life again in a physical body? Is that going to be direct experience? Oh yeah, that will be a direct experience. Imagine what these people will be thinking and feeling when they are risen from the dead and they are alive again. And what does God say? You're going to know me now. Why? Because God brought them back from the dead, and he's going to tell them that he did it. That is going to lead to a change of mind of many people, I believe. It's very apparent that that will occur, ladies and gentlemen, and God knows how to change the minds of people, and he will do it through that direct experience of resurrection. Now, why? Why is it so important for us to try to change in this life? It's important because God wants repentance now. If you're getting this message and you're starting to understand it, God wants you to repent now. He wants you to change things around and go in a different direction. And I want to show you a couple scriptures that make that perfectly clear. In Luke, let's take a look at the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13 and verse 2. Notice what it says. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And dropping down to verse 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're beginning to understand the truth of the Bible, if you're beginning to understand about God, you've got to start changing now. You've got to start turning your life around now, doing that 180 and going in the proper direction that this word will tell you about. Another scripture in the New Testament, over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says the following. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants all of us to come to repentance. He wants to give all the opportunity to understand his truth, and he will. He will give all the opportunity to understand his truth. But if you feel you're starting to understand it now, stay on that train. Don't stop. Keep following the will of God. Understand the way of life that God wants you to live. And it begins, ladies and gentlemen, it begins with repentance. The acknowledgement, the understanding that the direction you're going in life, The direction that this world is leading you is false. It's incongruous with the way of life that God wants you to lead, that God wants you to follow. So you want to get on board with repentance and understand that that's a change of mind. And once you understand repentance, it's going to lead you to the next step. That next step is baptism. And at baptism, you die to your old life when you go under the waters of baptism and you rise to newness of life, a new way of going in your physical existence. You will have hands laid upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you at that moment to help you. To help you and sustain you in this new path you are following, because there will be trials, there will be tribulations when you start to go in the opposite direction that this world is trying to take you in. We've talked today about change. We've talked today about how persuasion can change people, how vicarious experience can change people, and how direct experience can change people. And the conclusion for today is that direct experience makes the most difference for most people. Vicarious experience can change more people than persuasion can. But it's through these experiences that we really learn the lessons that we need to learn. And God is aware of that. God knows the mind of man, and He will use these particular ways to bring about repentance and change for us. Now, I want you to remember the literature that we're offering you today and also the CD. We're offering you the CD, Overcoming Addictions, because some of us out there, every one of us actually, has something we need to overcome. Get this CD to help you deal with whatever issue you're dealing with. Also, get the booklet, 10 Facts You Should Know About Repentance, because repentance is the first step that leads you to understanding who and what God is and how you should be living your life. I want to thank you all for joining us on today's program of the Armor of God. In a future program, we will be dealing with this subject of change again. And rather than take a big picture view in the future, I'm going to get into the details of change. I'm going to investigate change from a grassroots kind of a viewpoint and give you more details on how you personally can change whatever it is in your life that you're having issues with, that you're dealing with, whether it's an addiction, whether it's anger, whether it's pride, whether it's lust. You can overcome all these things through the power of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. Put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.